told that Grand Trunk Western No. 6039 holds a special place in rail history as a symbol of the transitional era between steam and diesel power, and as a representative of the powerful mountain-type locomotives that helped shape mid-20th century railroading. In the 1920s, passenger and freight traffic surged, especially on GTW's Chicago division. Number 6039 was part of a strategic shift from lighter Pacific-type engines to heavier 482 Mountain types, which could haul longer trains without double-heading, saving time, fuel, and crew costs. It featured cutting-edge components for its time, including power reverse gear, Alesco feed water heaters, and mechanical stokers, which improved efficiency and crew comfort. Though built for passenger service, No. 6039 proved equally adept at hauling freight, showcasing the adaptability of mountain-type locomotives in a rapidly evolving rail landscape. Leased to the Central Vermont Railway in the 1950s, it became one of the last steam locomotives to operate in Vermont, marking the twilight of steam in the northeastern U.S. After retirement in 1959, No. 6039 was one of the first locomotives acquired by F. Nelson Blount for his Steamtown USA collection. Its preservation helped lay the foundation for what would become the Steamtown National Historic Site, now a major center for steam locomotive heritage. In essence, No. 6039 isn't just a relic, it's a bridge between eras, a testament to innovation, and a cornerstone of steam preservation. Today, No. 6039 is on static display at Steamtown National Historic Site in Scranton, where it's maintained as a piece of living history. In fact, 2025 marks its 100th birthday, and it's being celebrated at RailFest this year. All this we learn from the Steamtown website and steamgiants.com. Artist Mark Sioka was affected deeply by the power and the story of Grand Trunk Western No. 6039 at Steamtown, and he was especially drawn to the massive wheels. Someone once described it this way: when a steam locomotive starts moving, the driving wheels lurch forward with a hiss and a clank, the rods pumping like pistons in a giant heart. It's not just transportation, it's theater on rails. Steam locomotive wheels are iconic symbols of industrial power and mechanical elegance. They're not just functional, they're a visual representation of the raw energy that drove the golden age of railroads. That from the Strasburg Railroad Mechanical Services blog and MTH Trains. Steamtown National Historic Site in Scranton is hosting Arts in the Parks weekend this Saturday and Sunday, August 23rd and 24th. On Sunday afternoon at 3, there will be a program titled Creating Engine No. 6039, a conversation with Mark Sioka, in which he'll describe his linocut and silkscreen print titled Engine 6039, and the legacy of Grand Trunk Western 6039 that marks its 100th anniversary in 2025, as we've just heard. Mark stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk with us about his passion for trains and 6039.
Being a native Scrantonian, born and raised here, partially first-generation American as well, I just enjoy our area. And when I started this whole series, I think I have like 95 in this particular body of work, it was pretty much for selfish reasons. One, I just love these buildings, locomotives, and historical sites. So I made up note cards, and I gave them out to people with information on the back about that image, the year, who made it, who designed it, what purpose it served. And I was giving them away. And then people said, well, I'd like to buy a box. Do you have any extras? And it developed into a whole business now. So it's the love of our area, first and foremost.
And you are able to, because of your skills as an illustrator, to do something that is detail-oriented, but also to scale.
My format usually is 11 by 14, and some of them have to be bigger because people tell me I'm very detail-oriented. So like the big boy, 4012, that train, I did a side view, and I think that's about 2.5 feet wide. The Nicholson Bridge, that is much larger, maybe close to 16 by 20, but I had to put in all those arches. And I knew I had something on because when Steamtown Gift Shop first started carrying my work, I saw an individual go up to my drawing, and he was counting stuff. And I just happened to be there, and I said to him, "Sir, is there something wrong with that drawing?" I didn't identify myself. He said, "I just wanted to make sure the artist got it right." And I said, "Did he do okay?" And he said, "Yeah, he's all right." I said, "Well, let me introduce myself." So that I took as a very good compliment.
As a little guy, were you fascinated with trains?
No, I remember the first trip I had to Germany. I was about 5 years old. I remember being on a train, and I had a little sketchbook with lines in it. And I just remember drawing stick figures and x-ray vision of the earth. And, you know, just stick figures, and maybe it was like army men at the time and different things, planes and tanks and stuff. But stick figures like everybody else. I just stuck with it. It's like Paul Klee, the artist. He did stick figures, and he was world-renowned.
Did you go on to study illustration? What did you study?
Well, out of default, because I would have to go work construction probably with my father and brothers, I'm not built for that. But I did grow up with it. In 12th grade, I asked my art teacher, "What does it mean to have a portfolio?" And she said, "Well, this is what it is, and we have a representative, Carl Neurath, from Keystone College, coming in to talk about the program." And I thought, college? Like, what is that anyway? It was like a foreign word, going to college. So he looked at it, and he goes, "Mark, I think we have something here. We can work with you." So I started up at Keystone and did 2 years there, transferred out to Kutztown University, and got my bachelor's in education. And then from there, courses with Ohio State, Moore College of Art, several different universities, in a master's equivalency at the time as well. So yeah, the sliver of light was there, you know, when that door opened a little bit, and it changed. It changed the world for me.
And you have been dedicated to teaching. Not only do you love the work that you do as an artist, but you love helping young people discover their own gifts.
Oh, absolutely. I love sharing. I love giving directions. And I don't know if it's true or not, but my students and my wife, they tell me I talk a lot. But I can't help it because I feel like I got to explain things. And sometimes I have to step back from it. But yes, I did teach public school for 37.4 years. And that includes several years at Keystone College. But after my retirement, I segued into what's called the Armature now. Armature was formerly known as Arts and Education through NEIU 19. And that has provided me part-time work from either 3 hours a day or up to 20 days in residency programs in different locations and groups, varied groups too. So I enjoy that.
As part of your work through the Armature, you spent time working with incarcerated individuals.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, that was my latest one. Grant was written for the Waymart Correctional Facility, Waymart, Pennsylvania. And Dr. Cullen said, "Mark, we think that you're the perfect fit for this." And I thought, well, why not? You know, I've worked with my whole career is with students with special needs, challenged students, emotionally challenged as well. And I thought, this is just part of it, you know, just another crowd, just a different way to approach it and to convey ideas and concepts. And it worked out well. I had a very strong group of individuals, very talented and dedicated for the 10-week program. So yeah, that was a positive thing.
And now we'd like it if you'd tell us about what's in store this Sunday so people can come and talk to you in person, have a little conversation, and see some of your work.
Yes. Can I tell you how it unfolded last year? I was in a competition for the Great Wall of Honesdale, and every year they have a few hundred entrants, and they pick 10. And out of those 10, what they'll do is a billboard vinyl print of the art image that was accepted. And then there's this beautiful large wall that gets filled up with great art once a year, and it hangs for 1 year. So I submitted the 6039. The one that they're displaying now, it's called the Grand Trunk Western number 6039 locomotive. But it's not the whole thing. It's just a section of it. People know me for my pen and inks, which are literally as they are in real life today. But this was just a design that I chose the wheels, those big steel wheels. And so after it came down, they said, well, you could purchase it, and it supports the Wayne County Arts Alliance. So I purchased it, and I had it rolled up in my basement. Needless to say, I thought, what good is in my basement? So last year, I contacted Steamtown and presented the idea that if they would like to display it, I'd be very happy. And it wasn't until about 2 months ago that I got a contact from Steamtown saying, yes, as a matter of fact, we would, because there's two things going on. The 100th anniversary of the 6039 locomotive and the 109th anniversary of the National Park Service. So I'm dropping it off tomorrow. They're going to hang it. Sunday, I'll be doing a presentation on not only that image, but related images and other things to show people examples of silk screening, pen and ink illustration, lino cut printmaking, because I do that as well, and answer any questions that they might have.
The wonderful thing about the image that you sent to me is that you use splashes of color.
Yes.
So it's not just a black and white or shades of gray. This is really a stunning image that has an impact because of the color, right?
Yeah. Like I told my students for years, when they had black and white drawing, time to color your world. So I colored my world. I thought of the pop artists and their bold colors, and I applied that to that image, which I like it. I like color. And also, with that same design, I did a drawing, and I did black and white pen and ink of it, and I had a white copy of that. And for a couple of years, it sat in my studio. And finally, this past spring, I said, Mark, just sit down, throw some color on it. So just off the top of my head, I threw color on it, and it's a whole different thing. And people are like, wow, you have color? I was like, yeah, I could do color, but, you know, I had to come to the point where I just like, do something with it or just tuck it away forever. So,
did you take a picture of the wheels and work from that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I like seeing that representation. No matter what I do with it afterwards, it's a beginning point. And so that's strong and the likeness of what is in real life.
How far afield do you go? You do abstract images as well as these wonderful architectural renderings?
Oh, yeah. I like playing around with everything. Some people, they like to stay in one vein of art. And I have to interest myself. If I'm tired of something in this area, let me step out and do something else. So a print I did of a farmer's field in Factoryville, that was a silkscreen graphic design in full color. It had, I think, 8 or 9 colors on it. And every step of the way, I think for 7 steps, I started abstracting it till the final turned into an 12 by 16 or 12 by 20, something like that, block print where I carved out like a big rubber stamp. And then first I did all the colors. I think that has about 18 or 20 colors on it. And then black for the block print right on top to tie it together. So, yeah, that's really nice. I enjoy that whole process.
What kind of a studio do you have?
I work out of a room in my house, plus the basement. Over the years, I've worked at the studios of Keystone College, Marywood University, Peter Hoffer, a noted printmaker and great individual. We shared a place at Bob Stark's in Uniondale. And for 4 summers, I worked at Moore College of Art, a summer program, working in the studio. And out of the whole group, I was the only printmaker in the studio. So it was like, the whole thing was just my playground.
You actually showed me, have notebook will travel, about how lightly you travel, but how you take your little sketchbook and ink eraser and pencil and how you just take notes.
Yeah, I have sketchbooks and they're blank. And, you know, when I told my father I'm buying this book, he was like, well, why? There's nothing in it. I said, Pops, that's a sketchbook. We have to fill it up, whether you're writing or drawing. And I have probably about 35 or 40 of them at this point in time in my life. And it's good to go back to them. But I just like it because when I go places locally or even afar, sketch something out, maybe on a hike, maybe of a building, something that's interesting, sketch it out. And later on during coffee or I have some time to myself, I'll ink it in. So that's my go-to kit.
We just moved back to the WVIA studios at the Public Media Center, and one of the first things I saw was this postcard on the wall. We call it our little gallery, and it's an image of a locomotive.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's part of my series that I included in my pen and inks, even though it's not a pen and ink. And, you know, I'm very impressed when people say, that looks like a lino cut. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're one of the few people, because it has the same qualities as the pen and ink lines, except they're thicker and bolder. And then on top of that, black, which I printed first, I watercolored the color on top of it. Yeah, that's the number 15 engine out of Steamtown National Park.
Remind us of the time at Steamtown on Sunday, yeah?
Yes, yeah. That's at 3 p.m., and it's free and open to the public. And if you look at the Steamtown National Historic Site at Steamtown, you'll find that there's a whole program listed, Arts in the Parks Weekend, at 350 Cliff Street, downtown Scranton. And it's all free, year-round. It's not just because it's Arts in the Parks, but there's no admission. You can walk around the grounds. And one of the things I'm impressed about is that Big Boy, one of the largest steam locomotives ever made, for an engine that does not move, that is the biggest draw. People come from not just North America, but from around the world. Right in our backyard, right in Scranton.
And I want you to tell us your website, because people can see a lot of your work there.
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been updated for several months, but my full, mostly full, can be found at www.markcioca.com. And I have a public Facebook page, Mark Scioca Illustrations. And that's more updated as things go along.
Well, don't miss it, folks.
Yeah, come out and ask the artist a couple questions. I'd be glad to talk about them.
Artist and educator Mark Scioca of Northeastern Pennsylvania, speaking with us in anticipation of Arts in the Parks weekend at Steamtown National Historic Site in Scranton, Saturday and Sunday, August 23rd and 24th. On Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock, there will be a program with Mark Scioca. It's titled Creating Engines 6039, and it's a conversation with the artist. And he'll talk about his creative process, particularly with regard to Engine 6039, but also, as we heard, some other work as well, and also the story of Grand Trunk Western number 6039. He does a lot of historical research, and he feels strongly about getting it right. But also on the weekend, National Park Service and the Impact of the Works Progress Administration. That will be presented by Ranger Bill McCarthy on Saturday and Larry Scucci on Sunday. And that's at 11:30 each morning. And the next program will be on Saturday, Railroads, Art, and American Life, a talk with J. Craig Thorpe, Saturday afternoon at 1:30. And he has a recent book titled Railroads, Art, and American Life. And he will be having a book signing as well. And that's at 1:30 this Saturday at Steamtown. And then on Sunday at 1:30, George Catlin and the Origin of the Idea of National Parks, presented by John Lucuda. And then at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon, Creating Engine 6039, a conversation with Mark Scioca. And that's all at Steamtown National Historic Site, 350 Cliff Street in downtown Scranton, both Saturday and Sunday. For details, nps.gov/steamtown, nps.gov/steamtown, and it's free, all of it's free, as Mark told us. And then Mark's own website is markscioca.com, markscioca.com, C-I-O, C-C-A.